as with every class, we start today's class with the attendance. All students are required, or all students are requested to mark their attendance on our WhatsApp group. And then we, inshallah, move on to today's class. And every time when we have our class, we do a recap of the last class first. And then we move on to our today's class. So today is the 14th of November, rather. And we move on to the recap of our last class. And that's Ayat 133. And then we move on to today's class. So who is going to do the translation of the last class? Ji.
Obey Allah and the Messenger, so that you may be blessed.
Ji, very good translation. I forget your name.
Mahmud.
Ji, Mahmud sahab has done the translation. That obey Allah and the Messenger so that you may attain mercy of Allah. So may you be blessed. And this is not the only ayah that commands us to follow the Messenger and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There have been many, many other ayahs in the Quran that have mentioned that we must follow the Quran and the Sunnah both. And these are the two foundations of the Islamic tradition. The Quran and the Sunnah. So people who say that I would follow only the Quran and nothing else, they are actually not following the Quran itself, because the Quran itself tells you that you must follow the Quran, you must obey Allah, and you must obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the last class. And today, I would like to request all our online students to mute their Zoom classes so that their voices do not interrupt the class. Thank you very much. And now, before we move on to today's class, I just want to ask one more question. And that one question is, that if somebody claims that he loves the Messenger, what has the Quran instructed him to do? If somebody claims that he loves the Messenger, or somebody claims that he loves Allah, then what should he do? Ji, somebody from the online class, if they want to answer. See, who's going to raise their hands? Let me check. Ji, Ladinu Saab, can you answer? If somebody says that I claim that I love Allah, then what has Allah asked him? Okay, Ladinu Saab was not in the last class. Who else can answer this question? Ji, that's it.
Obey Allah and follow the Sunnah.
Ji, obey Allah and follow the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be more specific here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul, O Messenger, you tell them, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, that if you love Allah, fattabi'uni, then they should follow you. Yuhibbukum Allah, then Allah is going to love you." So to attain the closeness of Allah, it is not possible unless and until you follow the Messenger, the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if somebody claims that I only follow the Quran and nothing else, I will not even follow the Sunnah or the Hadith, then in reality, he's not even following the Quran itself, because the Quran itself tells you that you will not be able to attain the closeness of Allah unless you follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is part of the last class that we were doing a recap of, and now we move on to today's session. And all these young boys here, you have your workbooks with you? Okay. So now we move on to today's class. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة أرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Race with one another, run towards forgiveness, race towards forgiveness. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, from your Lord, and race towards the Jannah, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And this Jannah which has the width which spans the heavens and the earth. عِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and which has been prepared for the muttaqeen, for the ones who are God-fearing. So this is the translation of today's ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you should race towards the maghfirah. And you should race towards the Jannah. Basically, Allah is telling us that you should run towards Allah's forgiveness and you should run towards Jannah. Well, how far is Jannah that I need to run? So how many kilometers I need to run to get into Jannah and to get into forgiveness? Right? If Allah is telling us that we should run towards Allah's forgiveness and we should race towards the Jannah, how many kilometers is Jannah from here? And the ulama, they've answered this question. How many kilometers is Jannah? And Allah says, and the ulama said that the way we race towards Jannah and the race towards getting close to Allah, this race is not traveled by kilometers. This race is traveled by controlling the desires and leaving the sins. So the total sins, if these are, let's say, if there are 100 sins in this world, then you are 100 steps away from the Jannah. Now your race is how fast you leave all these sins. The faster you leave your sins, the faster you control your desires, the faster you get into Jannah, the faster you get close to Allah. So this purification of the desire is what is meant by running towards Allah. Allah Ta'ala talks about the Jannah and Allah Ta'ala says, Dhalika. Dhalika means Allah's pointing towards the Jannah. Allah saying, Dhalika, this Jannah, Jaza'um man tazakka. This Jannah is a reward for those who purified their nafs, who have purified their desires. So the Jannah is, the race towards Jannah is not a race that you have to run for. This is a race in leaving sins and in controlling your desires. Now the question is, what is this purification of the desire or purification of the nafs? What is the nafs that Allah talks about in the Quran? Allah ta'ala has talked about this nafs many, many times. Right? Allah ta'ala says, and Allah ta'ala swears. There's an ayah in which Allah swears 7 times. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْضُحَاهَا Allah swears by the sun. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا طَلَاهَا Allah swears by the moon. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا Allah swears by the morning. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا Allah swears by the evening. And then Allah also swears by this nafs. وَالنَّفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا And I swear by the nafs. And the one who purifies it, the one who straightens it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا صَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا And then Allah has put, what in the nafs? Allah has put rebelliousness, sins in the nafs. And Allah has also put goodness, taqwa in the nafs. This is what we're trying to explain. So if you, let me just finish this, and then if you don't understand, then I can redo this again. So, now Allah is saying in the Quran that there is this nafs. And this nafs is a thing which is inside of you. It is the desire inside of you. And this desire is sometimes good desire, and sometimes it is bad desire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا That successful is the one who purifies this desire. So what is the nafs again? The question that you asked. Nafs is a combination of all your desires. So some of your desires are going to be bad. Some of your desires are going to be good. For instance, if you say that today I'm not going to pray Fajr prayers because I'm very sleepy. What is this desire? Good one or a bad one? It's the bad one. But let's say if you say today that today I saw a very poor man in my, you know, in my house, outside of my house, I am going to help him today. What type of a desire is this? It's a good desire. So you have a bad desire inside of you, you have a good desire inside of you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you purify all your bad desires, then you become successful. Then you win this race. In this ayah, when Allah says, وَصَارِعُ إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةً Then you run towards مَغْفِرَةً and you run towards Jannah. So this race is not in kilometers that you're running in, you know, you have to run about 50 kilometers to get to Jannah. No. This race is the race in purifying your inner self. Now, I want you to pay attention to what actually this inner self, this nafs is. Allah Ta'ala says, and this is part of the Quran, Inna nafsa la'ammaratan bisu. That surely this nafs, it stretches you towards rebelliousness, towards bad things. So there is this, the inside part of you is the nafs. And you have to straighten this nafs. And why do you need to straighten this nafs? Because this nafs actually leads you to committing sins. So it is the nafs that forces you to commit sins. And that is why you have to actually purify this nafs. And how do you purify this nafs? Why it is important that we purify our nafs? Because if we do not purify this nafs, these desires, then these desires are going to grow and grow and grow. It is not as if you commit 2 sins today, tomorrow you will keep on committing the 2 sins. The desires are always growing. Tomorrow you will commit 3 sins, then you will commit 4 sins, then you commit 5 sins. And then you keep on committing sins. And if you purify your nafs, then you keep on committing good deeds, and the sins will go down. So this purification of the nafs is one of the more important things that we do in our lives. One of the most important things of our life. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said time and again in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful is the one who purifies the nafs. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. Successful is the one who purifies this nafs. So we have to understand how to purify this nafs. What is the sign that my nafs is now purified? How do you know that somebody has a purified nafs? The answer the mashayikh have given is that the one who commits, it's a very easy answer, the one who commits more sins, the nafs is impure. And the one who controls himself from committing sins, the nafs is pure. It is very simple. So if you are somebody who does not commit any sins, it is a sign that the nafs is now what? It's to some extent purified. And if you easily commit sins, right? If you don't use your eyes correctly, if you don't use your ears correctly, if you don't use your tongue correctly, if you don't use your mind correctly, then you're committing all sorts of sins. That means that this nafs, this inner self has not become purified yet. It is very easy to know if I'm purified or if my nafs is purified or not. Now, this nafs actually forces us to commit sins and to disobey Allah. So we have to do something about it, right? And what can we do? How do we purify this nafs? How do we purify this inner self? And the mashayikh have given us this answer. That these are three of very important ways of purifying the nafs. And what are those three things? Azeb, what is the first one that is written on the board?
The zikr of Allah.
The zikr of Allah. And the second thing?
Companion of the
pious. Yes, my friend here, what is your name?
Sarmad.
First thing in purifying your nafs is the zikr of Allah. What is the second thing?
Company of the pious.
Easy, huh? And the third thing? Showing willpower, right? Very good answers. Very intelligent boys sitting here, huh? They know all the answers. So these are the three important ways in which you can control your desires. I will start with the third one. That you can control your nafs. You can control your desires by showing willpower. What is willpower? Willpower is to actually do something that you can't do, but you try to do it. Or to actually stop yourself from doing something which you really want to do, but you don't do it because you fear Allah. So for example, you have to wake up for Fajr. Now for many, many days, you're not waking up. And then one day you say, no, I will wake myself up today, no matter what. Now this, what you have said to yourself, you're trying to show willpower. And then at Fajr time, when you're about to go, when you don't want to wake up, and when sleep overtakes you, and you're like, I can't wake up. But you say, no, I will wake up. And I don't want to commit the sin of not praying my Fajr prayer. And then when you wake up, when you make wuzu, and then you go in the masjid and you pray your Fajr prayers, what happens now? What have you done? You have shown willpower. This is what willpower is. And those people who are successful, they will always have willpower. They will be people who can control themselves. And those people who do not control themselves, they always end up being disgraced. Right? This willpower is not only important for the deen, it is also important for the dunya. So there was an analyst, a researcher. He said, I questioned about 50 of those people who were very successful,
in their worldly things. They were successful entrepreneurs. And I found one thing common in them. All of them had very strong willpower. All of them can control themselves. So they were not driven by their desires. Instead, they controlled their desires. So this is a very big lesson. If you learn this, you're successful in the deen and you're successful in the dunya as well. Some boys, they fail exams in class. Do you know why do they fail exams? They don't study. And why don't they study? Why do they not study?
Lack of self-control.
They don't have willpower. Lack of self-control is again no willpower. So they want to actually have fun, not study, waste time. And those who have willpower, they will say, no, I have to study, otherwise I'm going to fail the exam. So some people fail the exam because they don't study, because they don't have willpower. And those who have willpower, they study and they force themselves. So willpower is important not only in the deen, to follow the commands of Allah, willpower is also important to lead a good life in the dunya as well. So there was a psychologist by the name of Walter Fisher in the 60s, and he did a research on willpower. And he said, I did a research on young kids, you know, children. How old are you guys here? You're 11. And how old are you?
12.
So I think he did his research on kids who were like 5 years old, or 6 years old. And 5, 6 years old, they love sweets and candies, right? You guys like candies? Chocolates? Of course. Huh? All of you like. I even like chocolates. Which chocolate do you like the most? Any, all chocolates, right? Now the whole world knows, it's going online. Your mama will also know that you love chocolate. She already knows. In any case, well, my mama will also know that chocolates. But in any case, so young kids, they love chocolates. So what this researcher, this Walter Fisher, what he did was, he told these young kids that I'm going to offer you chocolates and you can get one chocolate now. But if you wait half an hour, I'll give you 2 chocolates, right? Now, these young kids, these 3, 4-year-old kids, you know, they love chocolates. And they cannot control themselves when they see chocolates. So now, some kids said, no, we cannot wait half an hour. I'll just take my 1 chocolate. And some showed some willpower. They said, okay, fine, if I wait for half an hour, I'll get 2. So they waited for half an hour. And they got how many? 2. And those who didn't wait, how many did they get? 1. So who got more? Those who showed willpower, right? So now, Walter Fisher said that some of these kids, they have willpower and some of these kids don't have willpower. So he tracked their lives. And he said that those who showed willpower, they were so successful in their lives that after 32 years of following their lives, I came to this conclusion. That those people who showed willpower, they were much more successful than those who did not show willpower. And he said, and he mentions 6 or 7 things. The first thing he said, that those who did not have willpower, they were overweight. They could not control their appetite. And the second thing he said, that those who did not have willpower, they had less education. And he said a lot of them were high school dropouts, those who did not have willpower. The third thing he said, that those who did not have willpower had less salary. Those who had more willpower, they had more salary. And the fourth thing he said, that those who did not have willpower, they were alcoholics. They were more drug addicts and alcoholics. And those who had willpower, they never became drug addicts and alcoholics. And the fifth thing, very important thing, he said those who who did not have willpower, their married life was also disturbed. And generally, they were single parents. So they had kids, but the wives were divorced, right? Because of lack of willpower. And the last thing, very, very important thing, he said that those who did not have willpower, they were more prone to do criminal activities than those who had willpower. And then at the end of his research paper, he said that the willpower is the single most important ingredient of success. So if you have a willpower, then you will be successful in this world and also in the akhirah. So how do you purify the nafs? What are the three ways? Zikr of Allah, company of the pious. And the third thing is what? Showing willpower. So all of you boys sitting here, will you show some willpower? How do you plan to show willpower? What is your plan? What is one thing that you do that you know that this is wrong? And now you've planned, okay, from today onwards, I'll show some willpower and I'll not do this wrong thing. Just tell me one thing. Any one thing. You do a lot of bad things. Right? Or you don't do any bad things.
You feel ashamed afterwards.
You feel ashamed afterwards, right?
Lying.
Like?
Cheating in cricket.
Cheating in cricket. So from today onwards, our friend here, what is your name?
Hassan.
Hassan has promised from now on no cheating in cricket. So that's good, that's willpower. That even if I get out, I will say, okay, fine, I'm out. I will not cheat, right? So this is, again, this is a beautiful example of showing willpower. And he'll get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So what else? All of you should make one promise of showing willpower. What is your promise? Shazib, what is your promise?
In what sense?
So any one wrong thing that you do, so today, after this beautiful class on willpower that we had today, now you decide that you will show willpower and you will not do this one wrong thing that you do.
I can't think of one
right now. That means you don't do anything wrong, right?
I'm just not able to identify.
You're not able to identify, oh yeah. I can identify a lot of things.
These two.
Gee, who, what else? Any one wrong thing that you do that you've decided I will not do again?
Cheating in exam.
Cheating in, oh, so you're cheating in exam, huh? So from now on, you're not going to cheat in exams, right? Very good. Right, that's very good, actually. Anyone else? Sare cheating ko hi pakad ke baithe hain yaar, cheating in cricket, cheating in exam.
During the adhan, I not throw the volume of phone.
Okay, sorry. During adhan, I don't put down the volume of different things on my phone. So from now on, I'll show willpower and I'll put down the volume of all these things around me when adhan is being called out. So that's very good. That's very good. Good job. What else?
Missing Fajr prayers.
From today on, we'll try to pray Fajr prayers on time. Right? We'll show willpower. So that's very good. So all of you are people sitting here in this class are people of willpower, inshallah. Now, sometimes showing willpower is difficult. So maybe in this class you will say that, okay, from today onwards, I will be making up for Fajr prayers and I will not miss my Fajr prayers. But sleep overtakes you and you're not able to wake up for Fajr prayers. And every time you try to show willpower, it doesn't work. So is there any other way of changing this situation? If I don't have this willpower, is there any other way that I can actually purify my nafs, purify my desires? The Mashayikh have said there are two other ways. One is the zikr of Allah. So if you do the zikr of Allah, if you remember Allah, then automatically your willpower increases. Automatically you don't feel like disobeying Allah. So that is why the mashayikh, the scholars tell you that every day you should do some zikr of Allah. So zikr of Allah can take many different forms. Reading the Quran is zikr of Allah. What is the meaning of zikr of Allah? What does zikr of Allah mean?
To remember Allah.
So you can remember Allah by reading the Quran. How else can you remember Allah? By praying, right? If you pray extra nafl prayers, what are you doing? You're remembering Allah. What else? How else can you remember Allah?
Dua.
By making dua, if you make more dua, you're somebody who's remembering Allah. Very good. What else? Doing tasbih. Very good.
You can do dua with the Prophet
and
the
Sahaba.
Huh? You can do dua with the Prophet has taught us.
Yeah.
Like, you go into the washroom, you perform
the masnoon duas of all the actions that you do during the day is also the zikr of Allah. Our online students are saying something. Gee. By doing shukr of Allah. So for the favors that Allah has given you, let's say, if you're healthy, you say, Allah, Alhamdulillah. It is a blessing that I am healthy. So many people have so many diseases and I don't. So again, this is doing the shukr of Allah is also a zikr of Allah, is remembrance of Allah, right? So zikr of Allah is not one thing. It is many different things that you can do. And if you do these things, then you remember Allah. And when somebody does this, when he remembers Allah, what happens? He purifies his nafs. He purifies his desires. So generally, those people who do some form of zikr, they will be sinning less. They will be controlling their desires more. And those people who do not do any zikr of Allah, they will be sinning more. And they will not be able to control their desires. That is why the Messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said that those who do the zikr of Allah are alive, and those who do not do the zikr of Allah are dead. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who do not do the zikr of Allah, they are dead. So there's so many people I know that they don't do any zikr of Allah, but I don't see them dead. So the scholars have said, by saying dead, the Prophet ﷺ did not mean that they will be physically dead. They will be spiritually dead. And a spiritually dead person has no willpower. He will do whatever comes in his heart, and he will follow all his bad desires, and he'll be a person full of sin. So those people who do the zikr of Allah, they will be able to control their desires. And those who do not do the zikr of Allah, what's going to happen to them? They will not be able to control their desires. So there's three ways. The first we talked about was willpower, right? And all of you today are planning to show some willpower. And the second thing is, how do you control your desires? That you remember Allah, right? And the third thing. But before we move on to the third thing, some young boys like you guys sitting here, sometimes they ask, okay, well, the whole day I have to do so many different things. I have to go to school, then I come back, then I have to do my homework, and then there's tuition, and then I have to play, and then there's food, and then there's sleep time. So I cannot do that much zikr of Allah. So you tell us, one or two things that I can do, and then I can control my desires. So young people, young boys like you, what they want is that they should do some zikr, which takes about 10-15 minutes. And then they want to also be from the people who do the zikr for them. So if you guys do these two things that I tell you, and it's going to take about 10-15 minutes of your total whole day, then these two things are going to help people. you will become people who do the zikr of Allah and who control your desires. What are these two things? Okay, number one, you do astaghfar 100 times every day. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli zambin wa atubu ilayhi. Does everybody know this? All of you guys know this? How many of you know this? Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli zambin wa atubu ilayhi. Can you read this for me again? So if you do this 100 times, you ask forgiveness from Allah 100 times. And the second thing is, you send salawat on the messenger. You do the durood on the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallam. So if you do these two things, it's going to take about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. But because of the blessing of this zikr of Allah, this remembrance of Allah, what is going to happen? You will be able to control your desires. So from today, your homework is to do these two tasbihs. One is astaghfar, the other one is the durood, and you have to do it 100 times every day. Does anyone do it already in this class? Who does this already? The elder ones, they do it, huh? The younger ones, they don't do it.
After namaz, 33 times.
After namaz, 33 times. Some of you guys are hafiz, right, in the class. Hassan is hafiz. Who else is hafiz?
I'm sort of there.
You're sort of hafiz. What is a sort of hafiz?
Like, I'm almost there. Like,
you're almost there. How many?
Two bars.
Two juz are left. Okay, so yeah, you're already done with 28 bars. Very good. And the two of you are also hafiz? When did you guys finish your juz? How long ago?
5 years.
5 years ago, okay. So for you guys, doing two tasbihs a day should be very easy, actually. And Hassan, how many paras have you done?
24, 600.
Six are left. 24 are done. And what about two of you? You guys are not half this, right? You guys, are you guys doing it?
Nazr.
They're your cousins?
They're my brothers.
Oh, they're your brothers? I will talk to you after class. I didn't know you. We need to talk. Okay. So now, so there are three ways of purifying the nafs, the desire. One is willpower. The other one is the zikr of Allah. And the third one is going in the company of pious people. So places where you are being taught the Quran, like today's class, is also a company of the pious people. Going in the masjid, listening to the lecture of the Imam Sahib in your masjid is again what? Going in the company of pious people. So wherever people are talking about the deen and talking about purifying yourself, these are the people that you should be going in the company of. It does not mean that you have to be in the company of pious people all the time. And it's not even possible, right? Because you have to go to school, you have to go to, you know, tuition. Sometimes you have to go to other places, your family, your friends, this and that. Some of you play cricket, some of you go to karate classes. So all of that is fine. But every now and then you should go in the company of pious people as well. This is also going to help you in controlling your desires, right? So I will give you one example of how being in the company of pious people can help you control your desire, can help you go against your nafs. Right? One example, and then we ended today's class. Now, this example that I'm giving right now is of a person whose name was Zazan. Zazan was a young man, slightly older than some of you guys, but a young man. And Zazan had a beautiful voice and used to sing. And he had an instrument that he used to play, and he used to sing and he used to play this instrument. And he knew that this is a sin. I should not be doing this. But he could not control his desire. He could not control himself because he loved the singing. And a lot of people used to appreciate him, his singing. Because a lot of people say, oh, what a beautiful voice you have. So he loved people praising him as well. So he said, although I know it is a sin, although I know that Allah is not going to like this, but I cannot control myself. So I am going to do this. Even if it is wrong. But because he was living in those times, when some of the Sahabas were even alive at that time. So it was a very, you know, it was a very pious environment. So he said that, okay, I do this sin and I do this, which is these things which are wrong. But I should not do these things in front of pious people. So he used to, you know, he used to do it secretly. Where no pious people would know that he's doing this. Because then he felt bad. So one day he was singing and there were some people listening to his songs and they were appreciating his songs and all of that. And he saw that a very pious man who looked like a very, you know, big scholar is walking past by. So he felt very uncomfortable that I am singing and people are listening to my songs and of course this is a big sin. But why is this pious man walking right close to me? So he felt bad. And his concentration on his singing diverted towards this man who was walking past by. And he kept on looking at him and he saw that he stopped. This pious man stopped. So he felt even bad. And why is he not going away, standing here? Then he looked closely, this man started saying something. So he thought that maybe this man is now angry at me because I'm committing this sin. Because he's a very pious man. Maybe he's doing some dua against me. So he felt even worse. Finally, he said to all these people who were sitting, he said, okay, we're ending today's music, whatever today's songs and whatever session that we're having. And you guys can leave and maybe next time you can listen to my songs. And everybody left. Now, he got up and he went to the person sitting all the way at the back. And he asked him, who was this pious man who was walking past by? He said, you don't know? He was one of the companions of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he said, oh my God, this was the companion of the Messenger. And this, look what I was doing here. I was committing this sin. So he felt very bad. Then he said, he stopped and he said something. What did he say? This companion of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, yes, he stopped here. And he heard your voice. And he said, what a beautiful voice he has. I wish that this voice was used for the recitation of the Quran. So when he heard this, he felt even bad. He felt very bad. He said, look at this man. He's making du'as that my voice should be used for the Quran. Here I am. My voice is being used to sing songs. So then he decided, okay, now I have decided I'm going to leave all these songs. So he went to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and he said to the Sheikh, Sheikh, do you know what? I am the person who was singing these songs and you said that you wish that my voice should be used for the Quran. Now I promise you that my voice will only and only be used for the recitation of the Quran. So the company of the pious people, these words of the pious people, sometimes they are able to change all of your desires. So there's three beautiful ways of purifying the nafs. One is showing willpower, and there's the zikr of Allah. And also the third thing, what is it? The company of the pious people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to purify our nafs and to run towards Allah and to run towards His forgiveness. We will stop here and I'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wasari'u ila maghfirati. Embrace with one another towards forgiveness. Min rabbikum, from your Lord. Wa jannatin, and run towards the paradise. Ardu has samawatu wal ard, whose width is, the width spans the heavens and the earth. U'iddat lil muttaqeen, and the Jannah which has been prepared for the muttaqeen, the God-fearing. So So we'll stop here, make a small dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala wa lisanan zakira wa qalban khashi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.